Good morning, this is Soundcheck. Soundcheck, good morning. This is the morning fellowship meeting. Good morning. For anyone that might be listening remotely, we're waiting for Janice to get the meeting started. And as soon as she's here, we'll get started.
Leon, have you shared those pictures on Flickr? Thank you. Please, Mike.
Okay, if I may speak. If you go to the link I sent you, they already have the pictures.
Oh.
So I'm posting all the pictures into the same set, so no matter how many pictures I upload, you'll see them as soon as they get to the set.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Why is everyone late today? But we were the last. All fellows were out before us. We were the last from the party.
You must have some massage to
it. What do you think?
My friendly advice.
Good morning, fellows.
Ladies and gentlemen, Janice has excused and she'll be late today for 2 to 3 hours. That's why we'll take over and we'll start. Please be seated. Thank you.
and gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Fine.
Okay. I've been instructed to tell you that we cannot sit in the same order that we've been sitting during the week. So we have to mix and mingle.
We have instructed.
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's
fine by me.
I just interact and move. Everybody must get up. No, everybody must get up and you must sit on the other side and you must sit with somebody you've never
I am on my new
before.
Seat.
Huh?
I'm on my new seat.
Okay,
yesterday I was sitting over there.
If you want.
So,
everybody. Seriously, guys.
Everybody.
No, listen. The key thing that we come here to these ICANN meetings
Let's go to the other
is
side.
So that we can sit and interact with people we've never met before, people who we even never knew existed. So, come on, guys, let's take this chance and just sit with people you've never sat with before. Okay?
Yesterday.
Thank you.
I support the motion.
We made our homework.
Yeah.
So, one more public announcement. The pictures are already uploaded to Flickr. If there's anyone missing to be already in the pictures, please let me know. If there's someone that doesn't want to be in the pictures, also let me know as well so I can just take down those pictures. I sent the link to the list, and they're all already in a set in Flickr. If you are missing the link, I can send it to you right now. So you can check if you are already in the set. I'm sorry? Yeah, I took a picture of almost everyone when Rod Beckstrom gave us the book yesterday. And I already uploaded those pictures to the Flickr set. So if you are missing in that set and you want to get your picture uploaded, let me know so I can take the picture for you. And if you are in the set and you don't want to be in it, just let me know so I can take down that picture for you.
Well, that mic.
Yesterday I was sitting over there.
They are officials.
So today I'm on my new seat. Okay.
Is it fine?
Okay. Testing, testing. A new mic, hello.
Good morning,
good morning. Mary, how are you?
People, move. Move. What was the song? I like to move it, move it.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
God, help me, really. I need a lot. I need a lot here. This was my morning. I literally, just 5 minutes ago, put my head up, looked at the clock, and said, oh, crap. This was my ICANN morning. So I hope we all had as much fun at the gala as I did. That was really spectacular. I saw a couple of folks last night, and I didn't see others. I'm sorry that I didn't, but other individuals in the community wanted to thank ICANN and came up to me last night. So I thought it would be good for me just to say, at any of the ICANN meetings, the gala is completely up to the host, and all thanks for last night goes to .cz. So if you see anyone with a .cz on their name tag today, go up and please thank them, not ICANN, for last night. It was spectacular. And I happened to even run across Eduardo Diaz from .co, who ran the event for Cartagena. And I said, what did you think? And he said, I'm glad we did ours before theirs because they just set the bar. So it was pretty spectacular. And I just have like a guardian angel. His name is James, and he brings coffee. It's really a wonderful thing.
There's cream. Two for now and two for later.
Oh, my gosh. Life is good now. It's turning itself around pretty well. In all seriousness, though, it was fantastic. And if you do see anyone from .cz, please do let them know. They put a lot of effort into last night, and I really did think it was an excellent job. And I can't seem to type my own name correctly, so it may take us longer to get a slide up than it would to just introduce Leslie Cowley. Leslie's known me for way too long, and she herself wondered if this morning would pull itself off, and she was closer to the mark than I. Leslie is the chair of the CCNSO, and like the other chairs from the constituencies and the stakeholder groups that have come to speak with you. She volunteers her time amongst everything else that she does all week and juggles to come and speak to you so that you're more aware of what her constituency group is considering when they're here at the ICANN meeting week, and also why you may consider becoming part of the CCNSO. So without any further ado, I'd like to pass you over to Leslie.
Thank you, Janice. Do you know, when I came in here this morning, I was trying to wake up, and I was so impressed by how lively and awake you all were. I have new admiration for the fellows, because you must be the most awake and lively group at this time of the morning. So well done. So my name's Leslie. I'm the chair of the Country Code Supporting Organisation, the CCNSO. And I'm just going to speak for a very few minutes to tell you a little bit more about the CCNSO and how I came to be involved. And then I'm really going to leave it open to questions, because that's far more interesting for you and for me. So think of some difficult questions or some easy questions while I'm talking. So the Country Code Supporting Organisation, as I'm sure many of you know, each country in the world has its own country code. And there are 242-ish country codes. And we're the group within ICANN that brings country codes together. Now, you can join the CCNSO as a member. You can become a member of the CCNSO. And we now have 133 members, which I'm really pleased about. Some years back, membership was very low. And just the other week, we welcomed Bahrain as our 133rd member. Country code policy is interesting in ICANN. So each country code will set its own policies within the country. And that has always been the case since country codes first existed. So I come from .UK, in case you hadn't understood the accent. And we set policy in .UK by liaising and working with our local internet community, by end users, by our government, and so on. And that's how we set policy. And sometimes what we will do in .UK will be very, very different from what is done in a different country. And that's fine. That's good. We are all individuals, and what fits one country will not fit a different country. So we have a phrase, one size does not fit all. When you take that to ICANN, this is quite interesting. So because most policy is set in country, we do very little policy work at ICANN. There is very little need for policies that go across all of the country codes. So bearing that in mind, what on earth do we do for a whole 2 days of meetings during ICANN if we have little policy to discuss? We do a bit of policy, and particularly at the moment we are working on some policy work which is about how you reallocate a country code domain. If, for example, the company that ran the country code has closed, or if the local internet community are not happy with the provider. So how do you redelegate a country code? And this is a piece of work that we have been working on for a number of months now. But that's really our own major policy work at the moment. The other bit of policy that we did do, that some of you in the room will be aware of, is internationalized domain names. So a while back we had a policy process to look at how we could introduce, in a fast-track way, and I say fast-track, it wasn't really very fast, but it was much faster than some of the other policy processes. And as a result of the fast-track, internationalized domain names were introduced for country codes. And since then, there have been a number of country codes that have had and used and are using internationalized domain names. And very much, we're very proud of that, because previously, as you will be aware, you had to use English, you had to use the Western world, and that quite clearly is not appropriate for people who do not use English as their first language. We also have a whole series of working groups within the CCNSO, and this is our main work. So although we do a little bit of policy, our main work is about sharing information, about talking about technical matters. So we have a very big technical group. Many run big internet infrastructure businesses, and we exchange views on policy matters, on best practices, on things like DNSSEC that you may hear mentioned. I'm sure you have a very long list of acronyms. And when you've been within ICANN for a while, there is a challenge as to how many acronyms you can get into one sentence. So I will try not to do too many for you. We have another 10 or so working groups, and let me just give you a couple. We have a finance working group that provides input into the ICANN budget. We have a strategic and operational plan working group that provides input into ICANN strategic plans. And we have a security and stability working group that, as it says, tries to share information, to develop guidance on how best to make the internet stable and secure. You don't have to be a member to be involved in the CCNSO. We have 133 members, but we have lots and lots more people in the room. So anyone with an interest in our work can come to a meeting. We have some very popular panel discussions, for example, where lots of people come into the room. Yesterday, we talked about the impact of the WICKET, the World IT negotiations, and how that might affect country codes and how we might better work with our governments. This is a treaty discussion, how we might work with our governments to ensure that the principles that are important to us don't get lost in a treaty discussion. So the best thing for me about being involved in the CCNSO, and I've been involved in the CCNSO since 1999, is that we share a lot of news, we share a lot of best practice, and we network like crazy. And there is always something new to learn. So if you are a developing country code, if you are just starting on the journey of registrations and developing your organization, there'll be lots to learn. If you are an established country code and maybe quite large, we have some very large country codes within our organization, there is also something new to learn. And my best thing to share about that was a colleague from Japan. And a hero from Japan shared with the community his experience of disasters and disaster recovery. So Hiro has done disasters big time. He has done the bird flu scare, which was a major thing in Japan. He has done earthquakes. He has done tsunamis and major power disruption. Now, thankfully in the UK, we don't get many of those. But Hiro's experience of that, he shared very openly with the community, and we all took some learning away from that. And for me, that summarizes what the CCNSO is about. So just quickly, my story, why I'm here. I'm the CEO of Nominet, and we run .UK, as you said, as you know. And I was brought in back in 1999, to organise the operations when Nominet was very, very small. So we were about 20 people. We're now 150 people, and there are 10 million domain names under .uk. So from being very small, we've grown to be very large, and a huge amount of change within that period. So just be careful when you get involved in this industry. You never quite know where it might take you. And my last bit, You may have noticed I'm a female in the DNS, in the domain name system. We're quite unusual. So I welcome the women who are also sat around the table. And a quick plug, there is a Women in DNS group that I'm very much involved in. So men can come to the Women in DNS group, if you like. But very much it's about encouraging women in this industry. There's not many of us at the table. But more importantly, networking and encouraging engagement in ICANN and engagement in policy within your own countries. That's my intro. Let me answer some questions.
And Leslie, if I could, I'll add on again something that a member from .fi actually grabbed me last night and said she's been going to so many sessions, and she said I've started to lose the human element of the internet, and what you've just said about the CCNSO would reel her right back in. And talking about Hiro and about Japan, it really does bring back to all of us the human element, the human face, the need for human interaction, the need for participation, and the need, why you're here. We're really bringing you here to be that, and to bring the reality of where you live and what your needs are for your region, your country, your domain name, your government, and which sounds a little weird. You talk government, you think GAC, but government does have overlap, and that leads me just to say, you mentioned briefly we're in governments, but what is the overlap, Leslie, between governments and the CCNSO? Not necessarily the GAC so much, but governments and the CCNSO, and maybe the GAC.
Okay, so this is another example of one size doesn't fit all. So at ICANN, the CCNSO comes to this splendid GAC room, and we talk to the GAC about the issues we're working on. We share news. Particularly this week, we shared with the GAC our discussions on redelegation. But more generally, the relationships between a country code and their government may vary hugely. So in the UK, we don't have a formal relationship with our government, but we do very much work with the minister. The minister has my phone number and I have his, and we send each other Christmas cards. There is a huge variety of relationships. So some registries will be regulated. Some registries will even be part of the government, part of a government department. Others may not be linked with their government officially at all. So there's a very big mixture.
Are there any questions?
Zaur Zeynal from Azerbaijan. I don't know how if you can answer to my question. For example, each country had their own gov.country code level domain names or edu.country code domain level names, but except United States, they are using .gov and .edu directly, except using, for example, edu.us or gov.us. How it's possible, I think. This is my question.
So, yeah, US does have a country code, .us. Interestingly, and this is an illustration of local policy, so .us, not many US people know about very well. And many, many years ago, the US policy was to have second level below .us with the state, so Texas.us. US, for example. And so if you registered in .us, you might have cowley.texas.us. And that wasn't very popular because, of course, the alternative was .com. And so what happened because of that policy, everybody went and registered in .com from the US. So there are some policy decisions that when you start, or even when you are established, can have a very big effect on the number of registrations in your country. So I remember when I first came to the CCNSO, Spain spoke about their registration policy. And in Spain, many years ago, in order to register a name, you had to produce some documents to the registry to show that you were based in Spain and that you were a registered business in Spain, for example. And that was the intent of that, was to keep the country code domain trusted and to ensure that no criminals could register, for example. However, the effect of that policy was that it was quite slow and quite expensive to register in Spain. And so people didn't. A lot of people in Spain were using .com or .org instead. And in fact, since those days, Spain have changed their policy completely. And the Spanish country code is much more popular than it was previously. So there are some policy choices that can have a huge effect on how your country code is used within the country, whether it's trusted, whether people want to register there, whether it's cheap or expensive to register there. And if, for example, you impose a requirement to publish a full address and email and telephone number, that may also have an effect. So often in policy decisions, you have to balance the desire to have access and for it to be cheap and quick and efficient with sometimes another desire to make sure that you don't have what they call bad actors, people who might have the opposite effect. So I've strayed a bit from your question, but it's a good illustration about how policy decisions will affect how popular and how well known the country code is used.
I'm Gary Campbell from Jamaica. A quick question. In the event that no country code is used for a particular address, is a default country code assumed? And if so, which is it and how was it selected?
Okay, so there is an ISO list, and that contains the list of country codes. So John Postel, who was around right at the very start of all of this, decided that rather than create his own list, he would use somebody else's. So that this ISO list is an international list, and which I understand was first used for the postal system. So in the ISO list, each country will have a two-letter suffix that denotes the country. Actually, for UK, we had .gb and .uk. I don't quite know how we did that, but we had two, which is unusual. But it's typically British, of course. So if there is a new country, if a big country has split up, what happens is there is a whole process of committees that decides who is on the ISO list and whether somebody comes off the list or gets added to the list. And that is the list that is used to reference your country code. If you're not on the list, you're not coming in.
Can I speak in Spanish?
I'm Karen Gamboa. I come from .cr as the country code. And as you know, we are quite a small country. And I am a communicator, and I am in charge of taking all the information possible to the end user. I am trying to look for a place where to fit because I work in communications, but I like the internet a lot and I like the work that we do. So I would like to know more about the 10 groups that you mentioned. Is there any place where I can go into just to join one of them or to participate, where I can find a place for my profession and where I can help my country code grow?
That's a great question. So we don't currently have a communications working group, but the best place for you, if you're able to come to the Country Code meeting, would be in the news section. And in the news section recently, we have had, for example, just this week, some sharing from the Netherlands registry about how the use of social media may affect or will not affect take-up of .nl, which is their country code. And in previous meetings, we have had one that's memorable is .eu sharing some of their marketing and communications materials. So there isn't currently a group, but maybe you could come and start one. The best place for you to also be involved is within the regional country code groupings. So not only do we all come to ICANN, many of us are involved in the regional groups. So there is an AP, TLD, an Asia Pacific top-level domain group. I'm going to try to remember them all now. There's CENTER, which is primarily a European group, and there is LACNIC, LACTLD, which is the Latin American and Caribbean group. And I know that if I go to CENTER, well, I actually send my communication staff to CENTER. They have a group within there where they share what each are doing on communications. And there's a huge opportunity for someone with communication skills to make a huge difference to take up of your country code. So, for example, within the UK, we've done newsletters. We do a lot of press talking. So I was on the BBC the other day. Release materials, we have YouTube videos, and just recently at CENTER we have been sharing a video we have done to talk about why getting on the net, getting your domain name is important for your business in the UK. So not all businesses in the UK are online yet, and particularly we have an economic challenge within the UK, as many of you do as well. And we have been promoting getting online for small businesses as a way to helping your business. And as a case study, we have been able to show a company in Cornwall, which is quite a rural area of the UK, who created their website a few years ago. And one lady used to work on their website for half a day a week. And they hoped that they would be able to sell some of their produce through the website. They grow tea in the UK, which is unusual. And they were selling it at local shops. They are now selling tea worldwide. They are selling tea to China. And the woman who used to work for half a day is still there, but they have about 18 people selling and packing all of their goods that they sell online. And you will find in your country stories like that that you can use to communicate the benefits of being online and how you can help small businesses particularly open themselves to a worldwide market. That's the power of the net.
Leslie, if she, Karen, decided to do that, what's the email address, or could you share that so that I could share it with the team?
I'll share the link with you. Yeah, that's fine. So the one thing we do in the CCNSO, we're not precious about sharing materials. There's lots and lots of materials and resources to share. We have an open section of the CCNSO website, which you can deposit marketing materials, technical materials, draft policies, for example. If you don't have a policy on something, it's much easier to find somebody else's and then to nick, to take the bits that are good and to substitute the bits that you want to do differently than it is to start with a blank sheet of paper. Very hard to write policy from a blank sheet of paper. But marketing materials are there as well, and I'll send you that link and the link to this video, and you're welcome to copy anything. That's fine. Or nick it. I like that.
Quick question. Chelsea from Pacific. Most of the operators, the CTLT, they tend to actually have a social responsibility program that actually contribute to the internet society or what have you. I mean, just for the information of, I guess, of the people down here, that they may be able to tap into that kind of resources. I'm not quite sure, but in the UK, do you have such a program in place?
I didn't ask you to ask this question. Absolutely, we do. So Nominet as an organisation is a not-for-profit organisation. When we had 20 people, we were very small financially, and now we have 150, we're much bigger, and we make a profit. I like to think we're run very well, so that's why we make a profit. And the profit that we make, we donate a large part of it to a thing called the Nominet Trust. And so far we have donated £20 million to the Nominet Trust. And the Trust uses that money to provide grants to people, to get people online, to provide training. There are a number of projects where, for example, trying to get the internet and internet use to older people, some in care homes who have no visitors, not a lot of social engagement, to get them online, for example. And this project is not unique to .UK, so actually there are quite a few country codes who also have something very similar. And that's great if you're in a position to do that, but not everybody will be. So others will also have a social responsibility element. A number of us are not-for-profit, and we consider ourselves as working in the public interest. Yeah. Equally, some are commercial organisations, and they respond to their shareholders. This is this huge variety that's within the sector. And I'm happy to send you information about the Nominet Trust. Most of the money goes within the UK because that's where it came from. But there is a small element that is also for international work. And I know, for example, that ISOC has done quite a few things with the Trust to support. The Trust has supported the ISOC Fellowship Programme.
Good morning. I'm Narayan from Mauritius. I just wanted to know, for developing countries, maybe 10 or more years back, when the country itself was not, you know, keen of getting the country code, and it happens that the private sector just take the country code. So as of now, I'm sure all countries are keen of getting their own country code and take possession of that. So is there any policy at the part of ICANN to regularize this if ever there is any private sector taking the country code? Thank you.
Thank you. So there isn't a policy to regularize, but the one bit of policy we are working on at the moment, this redelegation thing that I mentioned earlier, is about providing guidance about how one operator, how the country code may be redelegated from one operator to another. And as you can imagine, that is quite a difficult thing to organize from a policy point of view. So if there is an operator, no matter whether they're in country or outside of country, who has been operating this for a while, then they may be doing that very well. They may be doing that working with the local internet community. It may be a big success. There are some countries where the country may not be happy with that arrangement. And if that is the case, they would like the domain to be redelegated to somebody who might do a better job. The person who's doing that job already may not wish to change that. And so if there cannot be a voluntary transition, the policy work is about defining the circumstances that the government, the local internet community and others may come together to request that. So there is guidance already. What we're trying to do is provide more detail on that guidance. Some of the work was done by John Postel himself many years ago. And he just said, if the local internet community want to make the change, they need to come to consensus amongst themselves. Great theory. Fast forward to today, that's a real challenge in some countries. So very much we're trying to develop policy clarification that says you might need to get local internet community support, your government may well wish to be involved, and if there is it's called a contentious redelegation, if there is not agreement, if there is not consensus, how might that work? Hope that helps.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Fyodor Smirnov from Russia. And my question is as follows. In CCNSO, you certainly are up to date to last developments on CCTLDs. Different CCTLDs may vary in many ways, but they are something in common. So could you please mention, for instance, three trends, three tendencies that will be of great importance for development of CCTLDs in the next years? Thank you.
So early in the morning, you've got some fantastic questions. So three trends, three things that might be important. Let me separate those two. So trends, we have been talking this week about the trend to use social media. So companies are having Facebook pages for their company, for example. Will that mean they won't register a domain name or not? And the research that was shared this week actually said they may be more likely to register a domain name because they are internet savvy. They have internet awareness and knowledge. But that's a trend that there's always something new coming along and so on. And we're looking, will that affect us in a positive way? Will it affect us in a negative way? The other thing on the horizon, of course, is new GTLDs, new top-level domains. And if there is a high usage, a high penetration of use of the country code within a country, then generally you think, well, okay, there will be new GTLDs, it will affect us, but we're not sure how much. If there is a very low use of the country code within the country, generally you will be more worried by new GTLDs because you may have a high use of .com or other things within your country and even more choice coming along, you may not view that as a good thing. So those are the two kind of developments and trends that are front of mind at the moment. There are also less positive trends. So the trend of criminals to register names and try to can have a negative effect on consumer trust in the internet is a less positive trend. And many of us are thinking about policy within country to deal with that if we don't have that already. And how much should we cooperate with local law enforcement, for example. So that's a not-so-nice trend, but is certainly there. And you will see many of the scams in the offline world coming online. And very much we share how we are reacting to that and how individually we are trying to respond.
So my question is related to the second trend you mentioned. It's precisely how are you dealing, or how is the CCNSO prepared to deal with the launch of new GTLDs? As for maybe there are some new TLDs that might get in conflict with the country code names. For example, this is obviously hypothetical, but what if there is an application to file a new GTLD that's .Britain? That's something that might take market from you, or how are you preparing to deal with that?
Yeah. So actually in the UK there will be applications for .Scot, for Scotland, and for .Wales. So Nominet is involved in the application for .Wales. And these are geographic areas of the UK who very much have a geographic identity. So somebody in Wales doesn't think of themselves as being British necessarily. They think of themselves as being Welsh, and they have a Welsh language as well. And you're right. If there are these things, they may well affect the take-up of .UK. And similar situations exist all around the world. So in some cases, they will provide competition. In other cases, they may provide confusion. And we very much have been talking about this for some time. It's my understanding that if you are applying for a territory name, if I can call it that, that you need to have the support of the relevant government. And I very much hope, and I know it's the case in the UK, that the relevant government has thought about, okay, is this a good thing? Does it open choice and competition? Or is this a bad thing? So you won't be able to succeed with that part of the application unless there is support from the relevant government. And I think that's important because in this case, the relevant government, I would hope, would represent the end user views. Now, end users may well be involved in the discussion around the GTLD anyway, but this is a formal step in the GTLD application process. So more generally, the CCNSO has been talking about the impact of new top-level domains for a long time. And for some of us, it presents opportunities. For others, it prevents threats. And very much, you know, we are working together to see how each of us might respond.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Biran. I'm from Gambia. I have two questions. The first one is, being someone who already runs a CCTLD, what do you think is the best setup for a registry? Is it with government, or is it as a private company altogether, in your own personal opinion, not a CCNSO chair? And the second question is, what kind of activities does CCNSO have lined up for this coming year?
Okay. The best setup is the one that works best for the end user. So actually, whether it's government or a private company or one person in their bedroom, I don't mind. From my personal experience, it's the one that listens to the end user and responds to their requests or their concerns. So without naming countries, Where I have experienced problems is where there is no listening to the end user. So the country wants to encourage internet take up in their country, wants there to be low barriers to getting a domain name, and the operator is not listening or is not responding to those concerns. And that may be if it's a government-run organization or a private organization. So what you are may not have may not provide the guidance. How you do things and what you do things actually is much more important for me. So are you listening? Are you responding to what your customers want and need? Activities was your second question. we have a number of activities lined up for Toronto. We're quite well organized as a community. And so we're already talking about what we're going to talk about in Toronto. We have very active regional organizations as well, the ones I referred to earlier. These are quite separate from the CCNSO. So the CCNSO bit is the ICANN bit. The regional organizations are totally separate. But we work together. We are a very collaborative community, I think, because we're all facing the same challenges and the same problems. So coming up in Toronto, we will be working on how we can encourage take-up of DNSSEC, better domain name system security, for example. We will also be talking about new GDLDs again, because that's very much front of mind as well for us. And I hope we'll be talking about the impact of new territory country codes as well. So there'll be a program published just before the meeting. And the good thing as well is that anyone can add things to that list. And we always have many more things than we can fit into 2 days, which is good.
Yeah, sure. Congratulations, by the way, on the iPad. Look at you. I know, you're such a show-off. I was on the list to win that, and I was a little... Yeah, Leslie was too, so you may not get a lot of love from over here right now.
So my question is regarding the re-delegation. It's a very hot topic, the questions of related with the re-delegation, and sometimes it has a positive and negative reasons. Because in some countries, sometimes the government body tried to take under control the allocation of national domain. And in that countries, sometimes the administrator of domain, I don't know, suffer some pressure from the government side. So my question is, sometimes for as a reason for the redelegation, the disagreement or maybe objectives from the users of this country. And so of course we need some channel to collect the real opinion of the users at this territory of this area, maybe country. So what do you think? The ISOC, which is as a representative in most of countries. Is it real and quite adequate channel for collecting opinion of users and to deliver it to ICANN? Thank you.
Great question. ISOC may well be a great channel. There may be other channels that exist already. So in my own country, ISOC has not been so strong for some reason. But there very much is a regulator that is involved with end users, and there is also an association of businesses, and there is an association of internet service providers. So if I start doing things badly in .uk, then I would expect the end user views to come through those channels, not ISOC. If ISOC is very active in your country, then that might equally be a route. And this is one of the policy challenges in this area. Do you define the route, or do you say there should be dialogue and consensus within the local internet community, whatever that may be within the country? Yeah. And at the moment, I think we're talking more about not prescribing the routes for that, but very much trying to hope that there is a channel and that end-user views are taken into account, whether they be the businesses in the country or the individuals within the country too. And I am so envious of the iPad. So I used to do competitions for a hobby. When I had a life, I used to do competitions. I entered this competition, and I've still not got one. Dolores.
Morning. My name is Maria Dolores. Speaking about collaboration and regarding the new GTLD program, I was thinking about the concerns not only regarding the country code, the country GTLDs, but about the territories, the regions, and also what we call the provinces for the U.S. would be the states. Are you thinking as CCNSO to work in collaboration with GNSO regarding these subjects in order to solve the problems, or it will be faced just only as a GTLD, a GNSO problem?
Currently, it's just the GNSO problem because that is the route, that is the policy route by which those domains were created. And a .scot.wales, there will be some policy locally, but most of it will be ICANN policy. So for an operator like ourselves, we will need to be in the CCNSO for .UK and all that we do already, and I will have to find somebody to go to the GNSO to be involved in GTLD policy. And I think we are only really just starting a conversation within ICANN about the effect of new GTLDs on the ICANN structure. Yeah. And so I think this certainly needs to come higher up the agenda when we see the effect. Equally, though, for all of the country code operators, we may not want the policies that GTLDs have. We may think they are not so good as the policies we have locally. They may not be as good at meeting the end user needs in the country as the local policies. So, for example, who is policy? Yeah, what you see come up if you are able to look at the registrant of a domain name varies significantly from country to country. Some countries will have privacy options where you don't have to show your home address if you're an individual registrant. GTLD whois policy can be much more detailed. So in .com, I have a .com as well, just because I thought I ought to protect it. So in .com, you'll see my home address when you look up on the whois. Now, people know where to find me anyway, but I'm not too comfortable with that, and many registrants may not be.
Do we have anyone else in the queue? Okay. You just told me, Alexander, and I forgot already. That's a real telltale sign. Alexander, if I can ask you to hold that thought, the reason I was asking. We do have another visitor this morning who wanted to just say hello to everyone. Hong has been a member of our fellowship selection committee, and she does need to run to another meeting, so I wanted to give her an opportunity just to say hello to those that she did have some effect on their coming here today.
Oh, thank you, Janice. I'm sorry to interrupt the interesting discussion between you and Leslie. I'm also interested in these discussions, the critical issues in the ICANN community. I'm an outgoing member of the Fellowship Selection Committee, so I'm here to see how good our selection is. It's a very interesting combination of these capable young people here, the fresh blood of ICANN community. Without you, ICANN is not interesting. It's full of old-timers. Right. Yes, as Jenny said, I'm just here to say hello, and I'm right, yes. I'm happy to meet these fellows, especially fellows from Asia Pacific, this is my region, and these female fellows. Very nice to see the increasing number of women, DNS women. Right, so this is so very good. I assume I don't have more to supplement, so that's back to Leslie's interesting discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Hung, and I'll say again, thank you so much for your volunteerism and service when it comes to the fellowship program. Truly appreciate it. Thank you for stopping by. And as Baran would call us, the fellowettes. Yes, thank you. Alexander?
Yes, good morning. I'm Alexander Ichokai from Macedonia, talking in my own capacity. I'll take the liberty to bring the voice of our community here. We've been discussing between the sessions CCTLDs that we are all affected because we are coming from less developed countries. This is the nature of this program, the fellowship. And we all agree that CC, NSO, or GAC maybe should be more aggressive and more persistent in insisting towards local governments to implement conclusions, or let's say we are not, or CCNSO are not doing policies, but to impose itself as a relevant factor. Because we are talking about new GTLDs, and we have on the other side CCTLDs with, I'm afraid to say, very weak protocols, very weak regulative. And we are all part of this entire picture, meaning the entire internet society. I would like to hear your opinion about this, about being more aggressive, not in hostile way, just to be more persistent.
We can be aggressive, hostile way if you'd like. That's a great question. And for me, I guess when you were talking, I was thinking, what is the role of the CCNSO? So the role of the CCNSO is not to regulate the country codes. The role of the CCNSO is incredibly limited in scope. So sometimes, in my personal capacity, I really would like to beat up the country code operator, but I don't, and I can't. What we will do is encourage them to move in the right direction, because the role of the CCNSO, as defined within ICANN, does not give us that power. Now, sometimes that's a bad thing. But also, I would say sometimes that's a very good thing, because as a country code operator myself, I have to deal with my government, and I don't want some sort of international coalition of governments defining what we should do. So I understand some of the concerns. I also understand some of the frustration. But frankly, it's not the role of the CCNSO as defined within ICANN.
Uh, Thank you. And one additional question. Again, in my own personal capacity, I don't want to mix politics here, but talking about geographical indications and possible application for new GTLD, I think we all should be very careful not to put oil into ongoing disputes, discussions among countries. We all know there are some parts of the world where different countries are inclining on territorial name, etc., etc., not to mention ongoing discussions about name issue between Macedonia and Greece. Thank you.
So when I was interviewed for my job, I said, there's no travel, is there? Because I have travel sickness, actually. And they said, no travel. And I said, and there's no politics, is there? No politics. I agree with you. I think geo applications start to change some of this landscape. And I think they change it completely in some cases. But political issues are much more difficult to deal with, and I think, again, need to be dealt with within the country or between one country and another. And it's not the role of the CCNSO, certainly, to be involved.
This is Iftikhar from Pakistan. My question is that mostly the ID and CCTLDs are established before the establishment of ICANN. And what about the such CCTLDs about the re-delegation policy of ICANN? They have showed some interest to accept the ICANN re-delegation policy, or what is the status?
So a lot of country codes were pre-ICANN, .UK as well. So far, yes, the ICANN policies apply. The re-delegation guidance we are developing, I think there will be a discussion sometime whether that can be imposed on pre-ICANN names. My understanding is that potentially it could, but I would like to think that ICANN and the bodies involved and the organisations involved would have more of a grown-up discussion about the local internet community needs, the government needs, and so on, to come up with a solution. So there is a real danger that, as well as lots of politics, there could be lots of legal. And in my experience, where something gets down to lawyers and courtrooms and so on, it just adds cost and delay to a process. And so I very much hope that people are able to negotiate decisions more than resorting to the lawyers. And I love lawyers, really. But that maybe is a route that some people will go down, and in my experience has been very costly and very time consuming. So we will see. I think there will be more case studies to share, and I would very much hope that countries or operators who have experience of a re-delegation are able to share that experience and what worked for them or what was very difficult for them going ahead. That would be great. That would be a very CCNSO way of sharing that experience.
There is another question regarding the GTLD. In ICANN draft application guide, I can mention each and everything, the fee structure for what is the fee for the applicant, what is the fee if there is one GTLD and there are three competitors? And what is the fee for the auctions? Everything mentioned, which the money get I can from the GTLDs. My question, in the interest of the public, in the community, is there is any guidelines or the policy, especially in the draft applicant guides regarding the new GTLDs, that the registry or the registrar implement this pricing model for the end users?
No, I don't think there is.
Wow, that was a great short answer. I like that. You know, I just want to comment on wording, and I'll back up a little bit. Leslie, I just have to say, first of all, thank you, because you have spent about an hour now on mic, and I'm going to cut this because I'd like to give you a break, and you've been amazing, but the questions keep coming, and I really appreciate you staying with us. But you used the word grown-ups, you know, acting like grown-ups, and I would like to say, when we come back together at 10:30 in Carlin 1 and 2, between now and then, I'd like to get your opinion, especially first-time attendees, on the grown-up or lack thereof nature of the ICANN meeting. It is a it's an interesting thing when you say, well, the CCNSO is... that is not what we do, and that's not what we do here. In the welcome to ICANN on Sunday, I made comment of content of the Internet is not what we do here. And we've drawn some lines around some other things here this week. This is not what ICANN's role is in pointing back to security and stability of the Internet and the running of the DNS, the operation of the DNS. And I think sometimes you do see some behavior around the tables that is not in order to achieve the goals of why we are here. It starts to get mixed up with the goals of why we are not here, and then the non-grown-up nature, I think, starts to come out a little bit when people blur the lines and are not really remembering the real reason that we do come around the table. So just some food for thought, because, you know, after five and a half years with ICANN myself and Leslie being involved with the Internet as running from a registry operator and from being the chair of the CCNSO, has seen from many different aspects what it's like to be here at this meeting in particular. It would just be interesting to me to hear your thoughts about the behavior of our community as they come around the table and their focus on the actual work that should be going on versus the sometimes stepping in it kind of behavior that really can clog the pathways to getting the work completed. And I think we see it differently depending how long you've been in the ICANN meetings, in the ICANN world, and the different sessions that you attend. And so many of you attended various sessions depending on your interest. So it just struck me, I don't know, I was just kind of listening to some of the wording and thinking myself back on my experiences, and what we do at 10:30 is come back and talk about our experiences over the week. So it's just some food for thought about your impressions that you can think about of the participants and the impressions you've had yourself. So if you have any other questions for Leslie, please do send them to me, and I'll share them with Leslie along with her email address. Or an address that you would like to give me, because we sometimes funnel, you know, through fellowships at ICANN.org. It goes through a bit of a funnel. If I'm not there, someone else can address it. For finance, it's controller@ICANN.org, in which I'm also a participant, so that if I get hit by a bus, somebody answers the question for you and you don't know that I'm not there. But I'll check with Leslie to see what the best address is to send any future questions. But a big round of applause. Thank you so much, Leslie.
Thank you, everyone, and you have won the gold star for the most questions at this time in the morning from a fellowship group, so I'm very impressed.
We were going to go downstairs to Congress One and join up with the outreach session that's now in progress. And I've been getting messaged from the team down there saying, could you please bring 20 or so warm bodies? It's really cold in this room. we are going to leave this room completely and not come back, so please get everything gathered. We're going to try to quietly go into the back of the room since it's halfway through session. We'll remain in that room, taking part in the Public Participation Committee session. It was suggested to me that we attend these as a fellowship group. I am part of both of those initiatives, and it's always an interesting point of view to, and an interesting session to be in, to be part of a board committee session. And the Public Participation Committee is a board committee. That starts at 9. So we'll kind of quietly get into the outreach initiative, which is a staff initiative that is getting ready to turn over to the community. What we're doing this morning is our first step in saying, as a staff, we've done this much work on the staff initiatives regarding outreach. It might be marketing. It might be attending conferences. It might be encouraging community to attend conferences. It may be being a panelist. Outreach comes in so many different forms, CCTLD training, DNSSEC training. So outreach comes in many forms. And the community has been saying to ICANN, to the staff, we want community, we want more control over the outreach activities that you perform and how you coordinate with us on outreach. So we thought the first thing we should do starting last September is to actually organize ourselves. And I have to tell you, it's been a really difficult exercise to really get to all the departments in ICANN and coordinate what we do. We actually have been stepping a little bit on each other and not understanding in our own silos what the other departments are performing in outreach or their concept of outreach, which Kurt Pritz helped us to kind of pull together over the last couple of months to say outreach is when you move people in, such as in the fellowship program, we're a kind of a shining example. You move people in, you move them up to a position in the community. That doesn't mean up as a leader. That means up into one of into your niche, into one of the community groups. And then when you get there, not to leave you deposited there, but to actually help develop you as a community member. And in developing you, you may choose to lead a working group. You may choose to become a leader of one of the organizations. You may become more of an ambassador for ICANN in another capacity. But we have to continue to engage, not just expect people to come in, move in, and not get burnt out or not lose their footing or their place. We need to help together staff and the community to work on this outreach initiative. So we are coming a little late to the game into it. Again, something else to consider, depending on how long you've been in ICANN or heard about ICANN or are feeling the lack of reach out into your region from ICANN. It's something to think about. Leaving here even, going back home and thinking, wow, I feel like I'm the only one that actually knows about ICANN. Well, we're not doing a very good job of outreach then. That means we need to do something else. So we go from the end of the outreach meeting into the PPC, who are very engaged in understanding what staff is going to do as the next step to getting community involved in that way, along with other things. So if we can, as quickly as possible, move down into Congress One. And then, obviously, I know people have to take personal breaks, if that's a good word, politically correct, between the different meetings. But let's get everything. We'll go down there. And then at 10:30, we'll come back up here to the mezzanine across the way to Carlin's 1 and 2 for our group picture and download. Okay? And thank you all for being so accommodating to my tardy entrance in this morning. It's very, very nice of you to not point fingers and stare. Okay, let's head downstairs.